Bibles, remain standing. Take your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, that's right after the books of Psalms and Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 9 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. All right, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 9. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, that's now, it's called deer season. And a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. And let's finish on verse 9 together. Ready? What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? And let's pray. Father, we do need you. Holy Spirit of God, would you empower me? Would you allow me to say what you once said today in this place for this time? Lord, these are good people. These are people that have needs, and there's no way one human being could meet their needs, but you could through me. I pray that you do that today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Ecclesiastes 3 is a very interesting passage to me. We will come back to it in just a moment, but let me introduce the sermon with these thoughts. Much emphasis is placed on growth in this life. At birth, one of the first things they do when a baby is born, after they smack it, at least that's what they did to me, amen? My dad saw them do it and said, I just kept doing it just to make sure that whatever they did worked, amen? But after a baby is born, one of the first things they do is they weigh it and they measure it. A baby was born. And the first question every woman asks, how big? Y'all know what I'm talking about? And I never quite understood this. Why is it after you start walking, it's tall? Before you start walking, it's length. You know, they don't say that a baby is, 21 inches tall. It's 21 inches long. All right? That just doesn't make sense to me, but that's the way it is. We accept it and on we go. Businesses pay exorbitant amounts of money to study how much growth they have day by day, week by week, month by month, quarterly, yearly. They spend all kinds of money to do studies to see and chart their business growth on a regular basis. Good night. Every time you go to the doctor, one of the first things they do is make you step on that stupid scale. What business is it of the doctor how much I weigh? I'm about to protest, amen? It just drives me up a wall. It seems like we measure growth and growth and growth. And by the way, growth is a very important part of life to we humans. Now, here's the problem. We don't always measure growth the way God measures growth. We don't measure growth the way God measures growth. I'm going to make a statement here. Man sees growth only as bigger or more of something. Man only sees growth as bigger or more of something. But God sees growth far differently. God sees growth in cycles. God sees growth in a process of positives and negatives. And I'm going to show you what I mean. We saw here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We read from verse Number two, a time to be born, time to die, time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted, time to kill, time to heal. Did you ever notice in that passage, you have a positive and a negative. You have a positive and a negative. A positive and a negative. And we don't understand that that is the growth cycle of life. Now, let me show you what I mean. When a baby is born, after that child comes from the mama, it doesn't grow one body part at a time to the full extent. Y'all know what I mean? It would be pretty silly looking for a baby that was 9 months old to have a size 13 foot. It would have a firm understanding, but it wouldn't. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, unless it's a Polack or a Jew, its nose doesn't all grow at one time. I'm teasing. All right. But, you don't grow, a little 5-month-old baby doesn't have an adult-sized nose. Aren't you glad? And I realize that the nose grows last because of what those babies do. Amen. It doesn't always smell good. Oh, wait. Some of you will catch that one by slow freight. It would be pretty silly for a baby to be born, and in the first year of life, its arm gets as long as mine, but its body is only about that big. It could wrap itself up in its own arm. You would say, preacher, that's just odd that a child does not grow that way. You're right. And God set it up to where things should grow as you get older. Did you know that you're still growing? You say, yeah, I had to buy more clothes. It doesn't fit in certain areas like it used to. You might not be growing up. You might be growing out. Did you know that your body keeps growing till the time it dies? Your blood, your muscle tissue, your heart, your hair, your skin, all of those things keep growing. Your skin is an organ. All right, it's the largest organ in your body. However you want to term that preposition there. But it is the largest organ of your body is your skin. And you are constantly losing skin cells and replacing them as your body grows. That's how your skin stretches and grows and shrinks with you sometimes if it shrinks. And all those other things. Your brain doesn't gain in size much after a certain period of time, but those cells have to be replaced, and it's constantly growing. And each new thing you learn, it's adding to the complexity of your brain. Now, let me switch gears for a moment. When you plant a seed for crop, listen to this. I love this. Did you know that for that seed to produce fruit, it has to die? Joe and I were together yesterday. He's getting ready to plant wheat. He'll put winter wheat, I'm guessing. He'll put winter wheat in the ground. It'll go in the ground. It'll die. It'll germinate. And it'll come up. And as the months of January, February, and Marchish hit, it'll suspend its growth. It'll only grow a little bit and then stop. Wait till the coldness of the winter passes, and then it'll take off again. But can I tell you something? It doesn't grow till it dies. It has to die to grow. By the way, did you know that, you cut wheat, June? Does that sound about right? Whew. Man, I'm not a farmer. But I do know this. Did you know when you cut the wheat off, it doesn't keep growing? You don't cut it off like grass, and it shoots back up and grows again, and cut it off and it grows again, and cut it off and it grows again, and cut it off and it grows again. It doesn't keep producing fruit. So in order for that fruit to produce, you have to strip the wheat from the heads, take that as seed, plant it again, let it die, and let it grow again. That is called a growth cycle. This year's seed came from last year's crop. Y'all understand that? That's how that works. Now, you just don't go to the store and the seeds come on the shelf magically. The seed came from this last year's production of the crop. All right? Now, that's how growth is. Now, I have heard many preachers in all my years of being in church. Listen to this statement real carefully here. And I think well-meaning preachers have made some pretty silly statements. For instance, I've heard them say, "Bless God, if you don't read more Bible this year than last year, you're backslidden. If you don't pray more this year than last year, you're backslidden. You're not growing. If you don't win more people to the Lord this year than you won last year, you're backslidden. Grow, 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 grow." Can I tell you that's not the way it always works? Now, I really do believe we are supposed to grow. And I think God's pleased if we can produce more this year than last year. But can I tell you something? Every farmer will tell you this. You can't plant corn. You can't harvest the corn and have more corn coming without planting more corn. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There's got to be those seasons and those cycles for it to grow and to produce. Now, Ecclesiastes 3 says this. There's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted. Time to love, time to hate. Time to heal, and a time to kill. All those different things. Did you know hunting is very important to wildlife? The problem they're having in D.C. right now is because they won't let them kill off the deer that should be killed off in some areas. And by the way, the spreading of disease by, let's say, deer comes because there's too many deer in a certain restricted area. One gets sick, then they all get sick, then they all die off or they die of starvation. Now, pros, cons, I'm not here to argue it, but I will say this. Because of hunting and bag limits and different things, there are more animals in the United States of America right now by far, almost 100 to 1 than there were when the pilgrims landed here in the 1500s. Check it out. Say why? Because we've been able to manage the herds like God intended, and it's on the uprise. Now we think you just let it alone and it all be bigger and better than it ever was. That's not how it works. God gave it to us to manage. Everybody doing okay? That's what having dominion is all about. Now, I'm not here saying if you don't agree with hunting that you're dirty, wicked, filthy, rotten, good-for-nothing, low-down scum of the earth sinner. I just say this, don't criticize those of us that are for it because we know what God says. He said, arise, kill, and eat. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Did you know that life and growth is like pedaling a bicycle? Now, I don't ride a bicycle a lot anymore. Tell you why. Because I have a car. Why should I pedal when I have a car? Amen? But, and if I could fly an airplane from my house to here, I'd rather fly than drive. But, all that to say this. When you pedal a bicycle, did you know that you're not always moving forward with your feet? One's going forward while the other one's going backwards. And to go forward, you have to go backwards. And you go forward by that forward and backward motion. One's moving back while the other is moving forward. Y'all know what I'm talking about? How many of you can or have ridden a bike before? All right. Some of you don't do it real well. That's okay. Now, I say that to say this. The forward success comes because you're not only going forward, but you're also going backwards. When I was in 1976, I was 9, 10 years old, I contracted a hip disease. I had something called Lake Perthes, Calvé's Perthes disease. And, I wore a brace that took all the weight off of my left leg, and I walked on a 2-inch square piece of rubber that came about 2 inches off the bottom of the insert of my heel in a stiff-legged brace, transferred all that weight up the brace, through the pelvis area and groin, across my hips onto this leg. 98% of the weight, every step I took was on this leg, not this leg, to allow that leg to heal. For 2 years, I did that. I had a 10-pound stiff brace. Now, I could unlock it and bend it when I was seated or something, but I was not to use my leg with weight at all. I couldn't stand up in the shower. I had to do it on one leg. I couldn't, after I took it off at night, I couldn't walk across the room to get something. I had to hop or crawl. I was not allowed to put that leg down for 2 years and put weight on it, period. That's not easy when you're 9, 10, 11 years old, trust me. To this day, Brother Stoltz sees it more than anybody. When I'm up here preaching, I'll pick that leg up and it's just kind of up like this while I'm preaching. It's just almost a natural thing for me to have it off the ground. I don't know why, it just is. Now, wait a minute. I had to give that leg time to rest and heal before I could use it again. But I remember trying to do everything I did before. Did you ever try to ride a bike with one leg? It doesn't work real well, especially when one leg weighs 10 pounds more than the other one. I tried every which way to ride a bike. I did okay going downhill. Going uphill did not work. If I was on level ground, I could make it happen for a little while, but it was 10 times the work, and it just was not worth it. I remember the first time, my mom and dad aren't here. We had a place about a block or so away from my house, something we called the pits. It was an old strip mine, and then there was a steel company on the other side of that. Well, the old strip mines, they had been abandoned for years. They had massive hills and different things in there. It was a great place for us to ride our bikes. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And it was the place every parent said, "Don't you ride your bikes down there." So that means we were all there. Without a doubt. Well, back in my era, you would get a brand new bicycle and then you would tear it apart and put different wheels on it, and we'd build like a motocross bike. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Put the knobby tires on there and shorter frames and a little heavier duty tire. I thought, great, I got my dirt bike. I got my motocross here. I can't pedal, but I can go down this hill. We had one we called the Matterhorn. I don't know why we called it that, but it was a hill. It was about 30 foot like this, and then it had a 90-degree turn on it. And I mean, the turning on it wasn't any bigger than this platform. And then it went down for about another 40 or 50 feet. And if you didn't make that turn, there was nothing off that end. Okay, you just went like that. The first time you ever did that, you were a real tough guy. Till you got down there and you're going, "Oh God, help me." I remember I got a brace on. I'm 10 years old. I'm going to go down that hill. I'm going to prove to everybody I was what I was before. Say, what is that? Stupid. The only good thing was it was my left leg and it had a left-hand turn. I got going down that hill, and you did learn right away you don't put the front brake on while you're going downhill. Okay? Some of you have made that mistake, haven't you? You say, why? What happens, preacher? Front brake only, going downhill. All the stopping power goes this way, and you go, phew! Your feet are where your head should be, and your head are where your feet should be, and everything else is coming on top of you in a hurry. I decided I was going down the Matterhorn. My friends are saying, "You think y'all do that?" "Oh, yeah, it's okay." You know, famous last words. "Watch this, y'all!" Yeah. I pushed off. And I started going down, and it doesn't take real long to go down because it was a hill about like this. And then it turned and went down like that. I got real close to the bottom of that thing. And what I didn't realize is I couldn't put my left leg out to make that turn because I had my brace on. I know this. I got clear to the edge of that thing as I'm trying to pull that bike around, and my front tire was going off of the end. And I went like this. That was not a good move either. I did make the turn. I started down the hill, but I didn't stay on the bike. And I rolled all the way down with a 10-pound brace, my legs stiff, going down this rock and dirt hill. End over end, I looked like I hit the cement mixer when it was full of gravel only. It was great. I had rips in my britches and my shirt where there should never have been anything showing, trust me. Lord have mercy. The worst thing is I had to go home and try to explain what I didn't do as though I didn't do it. And I did do it. Say, did it work? That's none of your business. Now, wait a minute. I learned there were some things it just wasn't worth doing. I had to fall down to get back up. There were some things I had to resign to for a while I could not do. I remember after 23 and a half months, I was 2 weeks shy of 2 years exactly, they were going to take that brace off. Glory to God, praise the Lamb forever and ever. You understand, I cried myself to sleep almost every night because of people making fun of me, people looking at me. It was sad. I couldn't wait. Every time I bought a pair of shoes, and we took that brace off, this foot, no lie, it was five sizes smaller than the other foot. So if I bought a pair of tennis shoes, my dad and mom had to buy two pairs of tennis shoes. Because one fit that foot, one fit that foot. You know, when it's five sizes too big, you can't wear it on the other. You know, it's, you know, like Clarabelle the Clown walking. I took that thing off and thought, as soon as that thing's off, I'm just going to get up and start running. The first thing I want to do is run. Lord have mercy. We took that thing off and I went to put my leg down, and I couldn't hardly support my own body weight on that thing. This leg looked about like my arm does now, and this one was about the size it is now. It was scrawny, puny. It took about a year and a half, 2 years for everything to catch back up. I eventually got it, amen? But can I tell you something? It didn't grow naturally. Growth is like the tide. It rolls in, it rolls out. It rolls in, it rolls out. It rolls in, it rolls out. But in that rolling in that rolling out, you have your wind and your water cycles that keep on going because of that. Did you know if we didn't have that constant in and out motion of the ocean, half of the world would be literally a desert. The other half would be a tropical forest. We wouldn't have the wind currents that we have. Wind is done by air pressure and temperature. Hot air rises. As the air goes up, it pulls the air up with it, and it pulls up the humidity. Cold air's warm, or cold air's heavier, and it comes down. That's why you have high pressure and low pressure. High pressure means the air is going up. Low pressure means the air is coming down, and it affects your bones that way. But it also, that's why a low pressure means there's probably rain coming, because that cold air is going to cause the weight of the water in the air to get a little heavier, compress, and fall down. High pressure means it's going to be sunny, and you're not going to see it because all that stuff's evaporating and going up. But as it goes up or as it comes down, it's creating voids for the air to move, and also the rotation of the earth helps with the wind circuits. Now, you just had your first science lesson of the day. By the way, that coming in and going out churns up the ocean. That churning of the ocean lets the water evaporate. It's cleaning. The dirty stuff falls to the bottom. The clean stuff evaporates and goes up, turns to rain, and comes back down as fresh water. That's how we get our drinking water. God uses salt water to clean our water. The dirt adheres to it, falls to the bottom. Did you know all of these oil spills, if they just let it alone, in a matter of a couple weeks, everything falls to the bottom of the ocean and you never know it was there? The ocean will clean itself. Everybody doing all right? We don't have to have 747s loaded with Dawn dish soap to go over the ocean and drop it. By the way, that's what they use. They use liquid detergent to break up the oil slicks. That's all it is. Common dish soap. We're doing the environment such a wonderful service. They won't let you pump it down the sewer without, you know, licenses, but it's okay to use in the ocean. Okay. Now, as Christians, we have seemingly adopted the world's philosophy of only forward is growth. Only bigger is growth. Only more is growth. We accept that even in our own Christian life if we're not careful. Can I tell you something? Even as we send things into space, our satellites and things, do you know that they don't go in a straight line? Our satellites, as they get to a planet or to certain things, they'll enter into that atmosphere and they'll circle that and they get the gravitational pull to shoot them out a little farther. It doesn't go in a straight line. Everybody doing okay? You enter into those things and steer around it to get the momentum to keep you going. In the Christian life, as you grow, it's going to be a series of cycles. You're going to cycle through your Christian life, and there's going to be give and get, give and get, give and get. It's going to be grow and fall, grow and fall. You're going to have these cycles of time to be born, time to die, time to heal, time to not heal, time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted. You're going to have these constant cycles in your Christian life. You may be in a positive cycle right now. Praise the Lord. But next week you might be in a negative cycle. Praise the Lord. That's why we have four seasons. You have the springtime. Things are coming seemingly back to life. Summertime, you have the great growth. Fall time, you have the harvest. Winter time, you have the downtime. Everything looks dead. It's not dead. It's just suspending, and it's gaining nutrition. It's gaining its strength so that when the weather warms up in the spring, it can take off and go again. Did you know that you can't have an apple tree that produces apples 12 months a year for very long, or it'll die? It'll burn itself out. It's got to have the ability to have some downtime so that it can grow again and produce more fruit. Now, let's apply this to the Christian life. But just so you know, you can apply it to your business. You can apply it to your work. You can apply it to your family, your marriage, your child rearing, your being a child. Whatever it is, this will help you. And I must hurry. Number one, you first have to be a part of the of life to have growth. Something has to be alive before it can grow. Did you know you're not going to grow a dead tree? Everybody in there? Did you know something that's dead does not grow? That means this: you can't grow as a Christian till you get saved. Because your spirit is dead. Once you get saved, you have the wherewithal to grow. There are a lot of people I meet, and they want to say, well, I got to be able to live the Christian life before I get saved. You got the cart before the horse. You got to get saved before you can live it. You got this thing backwards. You cannot play baseball or football if you don't join the team. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You can't make money at a business till you get hired. You might have all the great ideas, but until you get hired, they're just ideas. It's not doing you any good. You see, being associated with a name sounds good, but until you actually become a Christian, it doesn't do you any good. I know people that the Bible says they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. They deny the authority. They don't have the authority thereof to be a Christian. And they say, well, it just does not work. I'm going to blow a stack for a second here. Nancy Pelosi did it this week. We don't need more moments of silence on the floor of the Senate right now or the House. Prayer isn't going to fix this. The Christian God isn't stopping this. We need to limit guns. She said, we don't need to pray. We need to get rid of the guns. Well, Nancy Pelosi's got a hole in her head big enough to drive twin 747s. And I wish somebody would. Can I tell you something? Just because she doesn't know God, it doesn't mean prayer doesn't work. I'll save the rest of that for tonight. Folks, we just need to get saved. Number two, growth comes proportionately or balanced. Just like in life, growth is supposed to be proportionate. Again, your arm doesn't grow, and then your other arm grows, and then your legs grow, and then your torso grows. You don't grow one body part at a time. They all start kind of growing proportionately. Now, I realize you hit the junior high years, and the feet get a little bigger than the rest of you for a little while, but it all catches up pretty quick. All right? Good night, Malachi. What size foot do you have? Tens? They're almost as big as your sister. No, you didn't see the look I just got on that one. Woo! I did pretty good on that, didn't I, Neil? If you could blush right now, you would, wouldn't you? Now, listen to me for a second here. Good night. You know, little Wyatt, he'll be 3 years old next month. He'll be 3 years old. Do you know he doesn't wear size 10 men's shoe? You say, good thing. Yeah, you better be glad of it. He's also not going to wear a shirt the size of mine. You say, why? Because he's going to grow proportionately. I'm trying to grow proportionately. It's just all settling in one spot. Now, wait a minute here. A child doesn't grow one body part at a time. A Christian is not to focus on one part of the Christian life for growth. We're supposed to grow in a well-rounded way. Everybody doing okay? Watch this. We have allowed humanism to enter the Christian world, and we now call growth and grace discipleship. We have to have a discipleship program. We're going to put you through 32 weeks, and we're going to drill into you. We're going to spend 6 weeks on this, and 6 weeks on this, and 6 weeks on that, and 6 weeks on that, and 6 weeks in that, and 2 weeks in review, and then you will be a discipled Christian. Puke. Discipleship is Bible college. It's for full-time servants. You won't find one place in there Jesus commanded or God commanded anybody to be a disciple. He said, if you want to be a disciple, leave thy father, thy mother, thy brethren, thy kindred, and follow me. That's called full-time service. God didn't say for Bob Kellerman, after Bob got saved years ago, for him to leave his mom, his dad, his wife, his brothers, his sisters, and never see them again. He did command Bob to grow in grace. He did command Evan Barnes to grow in grace. He did command Joe Heaney to grow in grace. He didn't command anybody to be a disciple. He said, if you choose to be one, you're going to have to leave some things behind and dedicate yourself to this. He chose me to be a disciple. That's why I've given my life to it. But not everybody's going to do that. Anybody see that? Now, by the way, I'm supposed to still grow in grace in a balanced, proportionate way. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen, preacher. God wants you to be balanced enough to be spiritual at home, to be spiritual at work, to be spiritual at church, and to be spiritual in every area of your life at the same time. I know people that appear spiritual at church, but at home, you don't want to be around them. I know people that are spiritual at home, but they're not spiritual anywhere else. Let me show you what I mean. I'm for the family. You're going to go long and hard to find anybody that supports the family like I support the family. But may I say something, even in full-time service? I was a youth director for years. I was a principal for years. You know, my kids didn't go on adult activities because they're not adults. Well, they're your kids. They ought to be at everything. No. They need to be a kid. When I was a principal in a school, I didn't go on any away games because I knew what my kids did before they did it. I knew they were in trouble before they knew they were in trouble at times. I let them go on away games and traveled and did things without their mom and I knowing what was going on. That way they could come back and share something that they didn't think we knew about. Now, they didn't know that I was in contact with all the coaches and stuff, and I usually found out before they called home, but it's okay. Now, wait a minute. When my children were little, I didn't take them on teen activities because they weren't teenagers. I didn't want to wear them out before they became a teenager. Say, well, I've already done all these things before. I wanted them to anticipate and wait for something. That's part of growing up, amen? Boy, that's good stuff. I don't think we ought to decide family over church. By the way, I don't think you ought to decide church over family. Now, if my family comes in town and it's church time, I'm going to church. If they come, great. If they don't come, that's their problem. But I might take a little bit of time and spend with them if they're in town. Does that make sense to everybody? I may not do it during a church service, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to spend time with them. Boy, that's good stuff. Some people choose money over spirituality instead of being spiritual with their money. Did you know having money is not non-spiritual? But did you know having money is not necessarily spiritual? Everybody doing okay? Boy, I'm having fun here. Amen, preacher. Number three, I got to hurry. You first have to be a part of life to grow. Growth comes proportionately. It's balanced. I believe in balance. I really believe in balanced growth. Number three, growth will be affected by circumstances. I don't care whether it's spiritual growth or not, circumstances will affect growth. Now listen to this. In crops or livestock, the heat, the rain, the dry, the cold, all affects the growth of everything. Everybody doing okay? Did you know if it's real dry, the crops aren't going to be as productive that year? Or if it's too wet at a certain time, they may not be as productive. A few years ago, we had a real bad spring. Y'all remember? We had rain from about March till about the 1st of June, and the farmers couldn't even get out into the fields. I know farmers that tried to plant, they had a week in there of planting, and a week later, all their seed was washed away and rotted. They lost it all. They had to go back and wait till it dried out and do it again. Lost tens of thousands of dollars in seed because it was just too much rain. And sometimes you have a good spring, just right, it grows, and then July and August, you don't get one drop of rain and it turns it to a crispy critter. And instead of field corn, you got popcorn that already popped in the field. Weather will affect it. Listen to this. Did you know that in your Christian life, there are going to be circumstances that affect your growth? And there's going to be times where it's a little bit more lean than other times. And at other times, it'll be very, very healthy and productive. Did you know right now, as my mom lays in a hospital bed, it's not real productive. It's a lean time. That doesn't mean she's not growing. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It may be a circumstance that slows you down, but it does not have to stop the growth. Boy, that's a good statement. You cut a tree open, and it's very true, you can age a tree by the rings. But if you look at those rings aren't equal in size. And it shows the different growth patterns in a tree. The wider the ring, the more growth there was that year. The skinnier the ring, the less growth that year. And that is exactly like the Christian life. By the way, when God says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that word grow means grow like a tree. You're going to have those cycles, and you're going to have some years better than other years, more productive, less productive, but just keep on growing. Keep on growing. Keep on producing. Did you know you can't pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year? You can't read your Bible 24 hours a day? You can't go soul winning 24 hours a day, every day? You can't be at church 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? My wife tries to remind me of that. Can I tell you something? We're supposed to grow. But that doesn't mean that there's not going to be some lean times. Is my mom not right with God because she's laying in the hospital with a broke leg right now? Not at church? When I talked to my mom at 7:30 this morning and I called her, and she's still coming out of anesthetic a little bit, so she's not sure what day's which right now. She said, what is today? I said, it's Sunday. She said, oh my. That means I'm not going to be in church. I said, it's okay, Mom. God knows. You think I'm going to condemn my mom for being in the hospital today? No way. That's a lean time. Now, if she's able to be up and at it and she's strong enough to be at church, then let's get you to church. But if not, I understand. You think I'm going to condemn my almost 98-year-old grandma for not being in church today? Number one, if she was there, she couldn't hear. I called her Thursday when Mom broke her leg, and I had to break the news to Grandma, and she doesn't do real well with bad news anymore. And I told my wife, I said, something didn't register real well with Grandma. I said, something's just not right. Well, I found out yesterday, that morning, she found out the lady that was in the bed next to her in her room died. So Grandma had a double shot that day, and it was a lean day for her. Now, by yesterday, she was doing better, but it was a little hard on her. Well, it took me a little while to figure it out because sometimes she doesn't process it all like she used to. It's a little harder for her to get it out, and she doesn't hear real well, so it takes time to absorb and all those kinds of things. But I thought, you know what, 97 years old, that's a pretty tough day, pretty tough couple days. But she's still growing. I talked to her yesterday. She said, how's church doing? I know you're wanting to work on a building. She says, is everything going okay? I thought, you little imp, you. Everybody thinks you're so frail and weak. You're tougher than the rest of us. You're probably going to outlive me. Tough as a knot. She has days she's not as strong as others. We called her on Thanksgiving. She fell out of her wheelchair the night before Thanksgiving and hit the floor on her backside. To most people, that's it. You say, what'd she do? She laid on the floor till she got help. They got her back up. She said, oh, I'm stiff and sore, but it'll be okay. Tell you, she's a tough lady. Growth is affected by circumstances. Can I tell you something? When, not if, but when you face the circumstances, decide you're going to grow, not die. Pardon the grossness of my illustration here, but when the devil throws manure at you, you can decide to complain about the stink or turn it into fertilizer and grow. I decided I was going to turn it into fertilizer and grow. May not smell good, but I'm still going to grow. Keep on shoveling, I'll keep on growing. Did I say that appropriately enough? All right. As you grow in your Christian life, friends are going to die. Friends are going to move away. Friends are going to disappoint you. Friends are going to change. Finances are going to go good. Finances are going to go bad. Children are going to do well. very rarely. Children will do not so well very often. No, you have all those cycles that you go through. And all those things, then grandkids are going to come, maybe. Praise the Lord. You know, you've got all these different cycles that you go through. Can I tell you something? Some of those circumstances are going to affect some of your growth, but it doesn't mean you stop growing. Living by principle removes the circumstances, Living by principle does not remove the circumstance, but it allows the growth cycle to help you keep growing during the adverse times. Now that I slaughtered it three times, let's try it again. Living by principles does not remove the circumstance, but it does allow the growth cycle to let you keep growing during the adverse times. I decided I would live by principle when it's going good, but I'll also live by principle when it's not going so good. I'll live by principle when I'm on the bottom or I'm on the top. It removes the emotion and allows me to keep going, keep growing, even when I don't think it's going to happen. Emotions can create the ability for you to bail out and quit growing. Principles are like the roots. It allows you to weather the storm. It'll hold you in place. It'll allow you to absorb that water and the nutrients, and it keeps you going even when the winds are blowing pretty hard. Boy, that's good. Number four, and I'll rush through these to be done. What aids us in our growth? What aids us in our growth? Did you know that to grow, often you need some fertilizer? You need food. You need fertilizer. You need sunshine. You need rain. You need it all. In the Christian life, you need the King James Bible. You need the Bible. You need to read it, and you need to hear it preached on a regular basis from somebody that preaches only from that, believes only that, not somebody that just uses it and studies from others. Yes, I said it, and I don't care. Folks, if I told you to go get a drink out of the toilet right now, you'd be upset with me, and I know that's rude and crude. But why would you listen to doctrine that comes out of something worse than sewage? And a corrupt Bible is worse than sewage. Boy, that's good. I think you ought to read your Bible. How much do I read? Read it till you get something out of it, and then you'll read something because you got something out of it. I think you ought to read it till you get something out of it every day, whether that's one verse, one chapter, or 100 chapters. I think sometime in your life it would be good for you to read through your Bible once in a year. But I don't think you have to read through it every year to be a good Christian. I'd rather you get something out of one verse every day of your life for the next year than to read through it and get nothing out of it every day. Now, just so you know, this preacher reads through his Bible an awful lot. I average 2 to 3 times every year of just reading through my Bible. That's not my study time. I heard a so-called pastor get up and say one time, "I don't think in all my life I've ever read through the Bible in a year." I thought, glad I don't sit in your church. How in the world can you get up and teach that book and never have read through it in a year once as a pastor? I did it in Bible college because we had to read the Old Testament for Old Testament survey and the New Testament for New Testament survey. I did it in 9 months. Wow. And I was a Bible college student. Didn't say much for the Bible college you went to either, did it? Sorry, shouldn't have said that. I think you ought to read your Bible. I think you ought to pray. Prayer is talking to God. You need to learn how to talk to God. One of our new converts, I loved it, was talking to him. He said, "Can I ask you something?" I said, "Sure." He said, "When you pray, do you always ask for something?" And I smiled. I said, "The word pray means ask." Really? I said, yes. I said, the word pray literally means ask. I said, yes. I said, if I'm thanking God, that's not prayer, that's thankfulness. If I'm praising God, that's praise. If I'm worshiping God, I'm telling him how good he is, and how great he is, and how wonderful he is. I said, but when I pray, I'm asking him for something. I said, in the old English, you'll hear, I pray thee that thou givest me this. He said, yeah, I've heard. He said, well, that makes sense. Thanks. The word prayer is asking. That's all it is. Sometimes it's asking for help. Sometimes it's asking for guidance. Sometimes it's asking for advice. Whatever it is, but it is asking. That is what prayer is all about. I believe for you to grow and grow right, grow balanced, you need to be baptized as a Christian. That's the first step of obedience. Hang on to your wallet. You're also supposed to tithe. That's in obedience. Once you start obeying, it's okay. I believe it also means you ought to be a witness or a soul winner. Amen. Willing to get the gospel out. Give me 90 seconds here. I was talking to my dad this morning. 77 years old. Listen to this. He said, gotten a witness to a young lady, well, what I call young, yesterday at the hospital. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, got in the elevator. We were going to go up. He said, the door was just about shut, and this lady come running. He said, I haven't seen a woman run like that in a long time. He said, I grabbed the door and held it open for her, pushed it back open. She said, oh, thank you, sir. He said, no problem. Been a long time since I had a woman chase after me that fast. Well, she was younger than I am. And she chuckled. She said, oh, she said, my dad's about your age. He's 67 and in the hospital, and I got to get here to see him. He said, well, I got him beat by 10 years. My dad then was leaving the hospital last evening, and she was in the elevator, and he got towards the elevator, and it started shutting, and she held the door open. She said, oh, it's you. I get to hold it for you this time. And my dad began to talk to her about the Lord because her daddy just about died. He said, I didn't have any tracks on me, Craig. He said, I'm embarrassed. He said, but I got my pockets loaded this time. He said, I'm going to find her today. I know which floor she's on. I'm going to go to the floor and find her today. He said, we're going to go at it again today. I said, good for you, Pop. I'm glad I got a daddy like that. I am. You know, that's growth. At 77 years old, he's still growing. Sometimes it's around here, but yeah, I'll tell him too. We need to grow. We need to keep growing. We need to grow as we can. We're going to not always be bigger or better or more, but we're going to have those cycles of grow and fall back and grow and fall back. We're not supposed to go into sin, but sometimes there's some adverse situations that cause things to slow down a little bit. Don't get frustrated in your Christian life when you see that cycle. There's times, listen to me, there's times in the Christian life I feel real good about my Bible reading, and then I realize I haven't been praying like I should. And then there's times I get to praying and realize maybe I didn't witness like I should, or maybe I didn't do this like I should. And I feel like I'm just kind of constantly grabbing around, getting that thing to all go into one motion and keeping it all going. Boy, that takes a little bit of time. And even when the situations come, it slows it down here or slows it down there. And you're going to have those cycles. It's part of growth. Time to plant, time to pluck up with you. That was planted. Time to be born, time to die. Time to heal, time to kill. Time to this, time to that. You got to have the backwards motion before it goes forward. That's God's plan for growth in your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you feel like you've been a bad Christian. Maybe you're just in a part of that cycle and you didn't realize it. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere tucked away in that sermon something I needed today personally. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. God bless you. Maybe there's someone in here you're not sure you're going to heaven when you die. We want you to know for sure you're going to heaven someday. Maybe you've been here, you've been saved, but you've never been baptized. We can take care of that. Maybe you've been saved and you've been baptized and you'd like to join our church today. Wonderful. We'd love to have you. You just come forward. We can do that. But may I say this, we all need to make a decision we're going to grow. We all need to make a decision that when the lean times come, we're going to keep on going and we're not just going to fall over dead.